Good morning, and welcome to my podcast, Riffing with Ralph. Today's episode is Stopping the Corporate Takeover of America. Private industry to the rescue, and I say not. I believe we are giving up our responsibilities to run our prisons, as well as large portions of our military to corporations. How soon will these businesses be running our schools and police departments? I wonder how close we are to robo-cops, robo-soldiers, robo-teachers, and robo-preachers. Only in a virtual reality will everything be perfecto by using private corporations. No more errors, mistakes, or omissions. We must demand that a cease and desist order be given to our representatives to halt the snowballing out of control money giveaway to these corporations. The unlimited cash flow from lobbying groups greases the skids for less service, less value, and smaller returns on government investments. Corporations running prisons are a prime example of the deterioration of care as well as the exploitation of inmates. They control a continuous, stable, and cheap labor force that harkens to the days of American slave labor. Many of the following facts and figures I've recorded have come from 1. thesentencingproject.org, article by Kristen Budd from February 2024. 2. investopedia.com, the business model of private prisons. And 3. corporations go to prisons, the expansion of corporate power in the correctional industry, by Tracy Chang and Douglas Tompkins from the Labor Studies Journal, West Virginia University Press. In 1980, the federal and state prisons and local jails held a total of 500,000 people. By 2000, the prison and jail population had surged to 2.1 million. In the 1980s, with the war on crime and drugs, new mandatory sentencing policies, along with increased federal criminal justice budget, caused the prisons and jail populations to explode. The number of drug offenders in federal and state prisons increased by 1,000% between 1980 and 1997. The soaring prison population inspired entrepreneurs seeking business opportunities. Corporations began pursuing multi-million dollar contracts with the state governments, constructing, managing, and operating prisons. In 2000, privately operated prisons had more than 100,000 federal and state prisoners and local jail inmates, representing 11% of all federal prisoners and 6% of all state prisoners. Under the jurisdiction of the United States Department of Homeland Security, there is an average of 28,000 people held daily in immigrant detention. It is estimated 79% of this population is held in private-run facilities. A total of 27 states and the federal government use private corporations to run some of their correctional facilities. In 23 states, private prisons are not used at all. Federal, state, and private sectors began to expand the employment of inmates for profitable production and services. During the 90s, the prison industrial complex became one of the most profitable growth industries. Wow, what a sad state of affairs. Private prisons, also referred to as partnership corrections, lobby lawmakers for their support or advocate for stronger enforcement laws. In order to stay in business, these prisons need a constant stream of inmates to replace those that have served their sentence. prison quotas are in part met by the state's agreement to supply inmates to maintain necessary occupancy levels for the corporate profitability. Here's the kicker. Guess who picks up the tab? Let's just review how fucked up this is. The state and federal government hires and pays a business to run their prison. To sweeten the pot, they agree to maintain the level of population in order for the business to be profitable. If it all doesn't work out as planned, the state passes the loss on to its taxpayers. Who's the fucking loser in this deal? Once again, a taxpayer bailout. Studies have shown the cost reduction is quite small. By paying lower salaries, this often leads to lower quality and stability of the workforce. They can also cut benefits of services. Along with less training, this invites corruption, inmate abuse, and less prison security. Turnover rate in the public sector is 16% versus 52% in the private sector. To expand their markets, it is in the interest of private correction companies to deny inmates due process, lengthen their prison time, and lobby for laws and policies that create more imprisonment. A study in 2000 found that states with more private contracts in 1996 had higher rates of incarceration in 1997. If investor profitability is the goal, then a high prison population must be the end game, and private prisons definitely have an incentive to keep prisoners longer. PMCs, private military companies. The corporate call, "Show me the money," has permeated our society to its detriment. Certainly, the billions paid to companies like Halliburton does not appear to have been a good value. Has there ever been an independent study to prove money so directed is well spent? I believe it is crazy to hire private military companies to protect our personnel. Maybe if the pay was commensurate with what PMCs pay, we could better service our military needs. From cooks to truck drivers, plumbers, electricians, carpenters, and cleaners. P.W. Singer, in his book Corporate Warriors, The Rise of Privatized Military Industry, stated in the 1990s there were 50 military personnel to one contractor. PMCs operate in over 50 countries and on every single continent but Antarctica. Militias and groups of local and foreign contractors move and multiply, occasionally overlapping or merging, but always driven by the pursuit of profit. USA PMCs such as Academy, Triple Canopy, Titan Corp, Dyn Corp, along with Russian PMCs like Anti-Terror Oral Group, Ruscorp, Morin Security, and similar groups from other countries operate throughout the world. According to a 2008 study by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, private contractors make up 29% of the workforce in the U.S. intelligence community and cost the equivalent of 49% of their personal budgets. Professional soldiers, now referred to as contractors, provide services not only to multinational corporations overseeing crucial infrastructure such as oil wells, mines, and training local forces, but also as supplements to traditional armies. These services include external and internal security, engage in warfare, and secure local leadership, even to the extent of being that leadership's armed forces. Over the last decades, the number of PMCs has risen sharply. In Vietnam, there were 5 military personnel to one contractor, to every one contractor. In Afghanistan, there was 1 military to 1.4 contractors. In Iraq, there was a ratio of 1 to 1. The CRS, the Congressional Research Service, said that contractors made up 69% of the Pentagon personnel in 2008. This was the highest recorded percentage of contractors used by the Defense Department in any conflict in the history of the United States. The Center for Public Integrity reported that since 1994, the Defense Department has entered into 3,600 contracts worth $300 billion with 12 U.S.-based PMCs. Corporate soldiers are replacing national armies, and we do not give a fuck. To me, all of this information is scary fucking shit. Tell me why this enormous giveaway is not pissing off more of us citizens. I wonder how many people are aware of these facts. These statistics are not hitting the front page. Why can't our trained Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, Delta Force, Army Special Forces, Air Force Combat Control Team, Marines, etc., etc., be used instead of spending billions and billions of your bucks and mine on our corporate commandos to fill their pockets with our hard-earned dinero? I propose we use all that hard-earned cash to finally recognize what our military men and women have accomplished with salaries that are commensurate with their duties. Why should we spend the enormous effort to train our soldiers and then see them become soldiers of fortune in the PMCs, the private military companies? We'd save a ton of money if we paid them what they receive from those companies. To allow our top military leaders to migrate to the executive suites of these PMCs is not going to ensure that our country will maintain its present spot as the world's military leader. Perhaps we do not need a draft to attract young people, maybe offer matching pay. In the meantime, let's all do our part by stopping the corporate takeover of America. In closing, I want to share a favorite prayer with you by Marie Lenard. Give us great dreams, O God, while thou art giving, and keep the end. It's enough if we live by the hope, nor falter in the living, that lures us on from dust to dignity. I thank you for your time.